So I just want to let's just take the first 15 minutes and what the Lord laid on my heart to talk about was the burning heart of our high priest. So we're in the book of Hebrews, doing a verse by verse, not about his superiority in his character, in his nature, in his authority, in the sacrifice that he made, and how it applies. And it's very practical about how salvation works, how sanctification works. And it's a little bit, at least in the book of Hebrews, the heart of God behind it. And so I want to talk about this. So what kind of, where's his heart at as he's doing our high priestly work? And I think that most of the time, we kind of view him as a tolerant high priest who's patient with our need for his high priestly work. So he's not overjoyed to continue to be your high priest as you do that same thing over and over and over. We kind of think he's probably getting a little bit fed up with this couple hangups that I have. What's his heart as a high priest? And I think a lot of times we see him praying for us, see him doing his sacrifice for us, maybe through, you know, the heart of a high priest who wants the best for us. It's just kind of like, man, one day they're going to get there and then I'll really enjoy him or her. God's kind of mostly disappointed, begrudgingly making us better because we'll eventually get more holy. And so that's where a lot of people are at. I want to talk about where I believe the scripture says about his heart as our high priest. So John 17, let's start there. John 17, we're going to look at verse 20 through 26. Now this is known in many theological circles as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And so we've got to put that into perspective. Jesus as our intercessor, that's what the idea is, as a priest praying for us, and this is moments before he goes to the cross. So it gives us a little insight into the heart behind his high priestly work. Chapter 26, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Now he's praying for his disciples first. Now he's praying for those who the disciples will preach and teach about Jesus, and those folks will turn to him. And so this is, in a way, talking about us. This is talking about those who hear the word through the message the disciples will bring. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you sent me and that I have loved them as you loved me. Father, I desire, that's just a big statement right there. We might want to underline that. We're looking for his heart. What is he after? As our high priest, that those who you gave me be with me where I am, that they would behold my glory, which you gave me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I've known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and I will continue to declare it, that the love in which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. I want you to notice here the glue that holds the oneness together. So he's praying that we'd be one as the Father and the Son are one. And the only thing that Jesus gives us here or that he's praying for that would happen that would bring about this oneness is that we would actually have the very same love that they have together. That's what makes them one. So it's not just that they get along really well. It's not that they stopped arguing. That's not what the oneness that he's after here as our high priest. He's after saying, Father, as the high priest, I desire to see in them the love that you have for me and that I have for you, and that they'd be one with us in that love. So that's the idea. Let's look at, you don't have notes. I have notes. Number three on my notes. Jeremiah 31. So we're in the book of Hebrews, and we're looking at the new covenant, the promise of the new covenant. And in the book of Hebrews, the writer's very much establishing these new covenant ideas. I want to look at Jeremiah 31, or keep that in mind, that Jeremiah 31:31 is that promise of the new covenant. Just a moment later, in Jeremiah 32:39, Jeremiah prophesies this. We'll go ahead and put that one up on the board if we would. Jeremiah 32:39. And one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them. There's another promise of the new covenant, Ezekiel 11:19. I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit with 17:21. And we just read, that they may be one. Notice this, one heart, one heart. One spirit, this oneness is a theme of what the new covenant would produce. I in you, they be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Philippians 2, 1 through 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. This is huge. So he says, if the Lord is working in you, doing these things, he says, make my desire for you, my joy for you, come to its fullness, the completeness of it, by being like-minded, having the same, what? Love. Being one spirit and one mind. The idea is in love. Okay. Now I want to bring you into, I'm going to talk about fire for a minute and then bring this full circle. So this idea of fire in the scriptures, the Lord's going to give fire by the Spirit. Many other passages speaking about the fire of God. When God reveals himself as the one who wanted a unique relationship with his people, he revealed himself as a consuming fire. I want to say that again. When God wants to reveal himself as one who wants a unique relationship with his people, he shows up as a God of fire. Now, we mostly, and this is for whatever reason, when we think of God's fire, he's got a fiery anger, and he's... The way he revealed himself was intended to express his emotions and intentions. Mostly anger and wants to burn you. That's what you see when he shows up as a God of fire. But what if we have it wrong, and when he shows up burning fire, he's actually conveying a different emotion. And it's burning passionate love. Okay? Now I wanna talk about this a little bit. For Israel, if we kind of rewind the story and look at when God first showed up, he shows up to Moses to free his people from Egypt as what? A consuming fire, the burning bush. Then the people come out of Egypt. He shows up as a God of fire on the mountain and marries them. Right? For them, seeing the God of fire speaks of the one who reached out and delivered them. Not who struck them all dead, right? So when, and then for 40 years, the God of fire that they know is the God who dwells in a pillar of fire that reaches the heavens for 40 years, keeping them warm at night, going before them all through Egypt, protecting them. That's the God of fire for them, okay? So I want to say this, his appearance as the fiery one, at least for Israel, was never understood as his emotions of anger or rage to destroy or judge people. Far from it, he dwelt with them as a pillar of fire for their entire lifetime. Okay, so when we see this idea, and I just wanted to just paint that picture for us, the sanctifying work of our high priest is often spoken of as his refining fire, his work of bringing to grow in love, okay? The sanctifying work of the high priest is unto this reality. So here's what I want to put forward, that as he works as a high priest on our behalf, doing sacrifices, ministering to the Lord on our behalf, there is a burning fire on the inside of him. And his desire is to see that burning fire returned with the very strength that he has. Have you ever loved somebody with a greater love than you've been loved back by? There's a longing in that. I love this person, and I wish they would return the level of love that I have for them. And there's this ache on the inside of you. Now, can you imagine the love of God, his desire to have a relationship with us, and his longing is that we would not just feel his love, but there would be a reciprocation of that love. That's the longing of God. Luke 12:49, I think one of the most misunderstood passages concerning this reality. Jesus proclaims this: I have come to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Now, I've read multiple, you know, scholars on this passage, and all of them kind of lean towards the same way, where he's kind of saying, I've come to judge the earth with fire, and I wish I could already do it. And I want to say that Jesus is talking about he has come to bring a fiery passion, the very heart of God, that fiery love of God, to the earth, and how he wishes it were already in place. But then he says in the next verse, we know that his death and resurrection instituted the new covenant, the possibility for hearts to be burning. Okay? Revelation chapter 1. My last, John's on the island of Patmos, he's in a prison there, and he hears a voice behind him, a trumpet, a voice declaring, I'm the Alpha Omega. He turns around, and he sees Jesus. Jesus appears to him. Well, first what he sees is seven burning lamps, and then he sees Jesus walking among these lampstands, and he's dressed in a garb, it says in a garment, and he has a golden band around his chest. Now, the only place that we see this imagery is in the imagery of the high priest in the Old Covenant. The only place we see a golden band around the chest. Okay? So, God commanded Moses, for the high priest, I want you to bang out gold, make it real thin. Make a big strip wire of it, and I want you to weave that golden wire into some other materials and make a band that will go around the high priest. Okay? And so it's a good exegetical approach to that passage. What is this garment and what is the band? If the only thing that we have in Scripture pointing to this kind of a outfit is the high priest, then Jesus is appearing to John as the great high priest in that identity, okay? As walking as the great high priest. Now, one of the jobs uniquely given to the high priest in the Old Covenant was to tend the lampstands and to keep them burning. So in the Old Covenant, they had a lampstand, or they had multiple ones actually in the sanctuary, and only the high priest was given this job, that he would keep these lampstands burning. So there's a couple fires that were never supposed to go out in the Old Testament. One was the fire on the altar of sacrifice and worship. The other were these lampstands, okay? And Jesus, and thankfully, John gets the download from the Holy Spirit. The lampstands are the seven churches. They're the churches. These lamps of fire that Jesus is walking among, it says that in Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 20, it says, the seven lampstands that you saw, John, are the seven churches. And this high priest is walking among them. And he's keeping them burning. Okay? Now, John looks and he sees him dressed as a high priest, and he sees his eyes. And do you guys remember what his eyes look like? They're burning. He says he has eyes of fire. So this is the picture that Jesus, now have you read Revelation 2 and 3? They're the seven churches. These churches are way more messed up than Restoration Fellowship. I don't know about that. But I do know these churches have some major issues. Major issues. Then they have, you know, some of them have walked in major issues for some time. And Jesus is continuing to work on them, continuing to work on sin issues, adultery, idolatry. They've lost their first love, all sorts of things. And he is, here's the picture, Jesus is walking among these lamps, keeping them burning with eyes of fire. And so I want to put this forward. The heart, when we're in the book of Hebrews, we're studying this, the work, the supremacy of his sacrifice, the authority that he has, the work of his high priest as he's interceding for us, as he's walking among the lampstands, seeing our issues, and as a high priest going about the work of transforming our heart as our high priest, right? His eyes, you guys, are burning with passion for you. Not with, fry again with this. Again with this. Again, really, you can't get over this? How much more grace do you need? How much longer do I have to stand here? And pretty soon his eyes, the fire kind of goes out. Finally, they're just kind of dull looking at me like, are you kidding me? That's not the picture. That he, as our high priest, burns with passion to bring us into the fullness of love always. When he prays, Father, I desire, I can just see his eyes and his heart burning as he makes his way to Calvary. And as he stands and ministers before the throne right now on your behalf to bring you into the fullness of love, to look at the issues of your heart that are weak, that are fallen, and contend for you and give you the Spirit and give you grace and give you counsel and leadership, he is burning with passion for you the whole time. And where it's going, you guys, is our hearts, because of this high priest who burns for us, it's going to a place where we burn back with the same intensity. Amen. That's the heart of our high priest. Jesus, I thank you for the book of Hebrews. I thank you for the verse-by-verse study that we are doing. And I ask that as we look at your sacrifice, we look at your character and nature, we look at your identity, that we would keep in mind your heart, your burning heart of love for us, your burning desire to bring us into oneness with you. And I pray for those who see you wrongly as their high priest, who puts up with them, who's mostly grumpy, who's mostly tired of doing high priestly work. Lord, would you help them to see you rightly? And in that, give them courage to love you, to press, to go after the fullness of love. In Jesus' name, amen.